You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When Aretha Franklin died last week, the world lost a voice that was truly unlike any other. Her funeral arrangements are now complete. There'll be a public viewing at the Charles Wright Museum of African American History on August 28th and 29th, and then at the New Bethel Baptist Church on August 30th. Then comes the private family funeral at Detroit's Greater Grace Temple, which will be August 31st. And since the woman named by Rolling Stone magazine as the greatest singer of all time never left her Detroit area home, it is truly fitting that this edition of Detroit Music is an all Aretha edition. Paul Young is back with us, founder and publisher of Detroit Music magazine. Paul, let's talk a little first about her life and her career. And we should probably begin by tackling something we have heard and read in the last few days since her death, and it is a mistake. Aretha was from Detroit, but she was not a Motown Records artist, was she?
That's right. That's actually a common misconception, but Aretha never recorded for Motown Records. Certainly her sound did become, you know, quintessentially Detroit. And there was some crossover, as we'll talk about later, but she was never part of the Motown roster.
She always had a voice that was not of this world. And even when she released her first record, which is a gospel record called Songs of Faith, she was only 14. Briefly track her secular recording career for us.
Yeah, you know, by the time she was 18, she began her kind of her, as you put it, her secular world career. And after a little stint with Columbia Records, she signed with Atlantic in 1966. She was about 24 years old at that time. And by the end of the 60s, you know, less than 5 years later, she was known as the Queen of Soul. And that's because she just had back-to-back hits of Respect, Chain of Fools, Think, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, Say a Little Prayer. You know, and in her later years, she had multiple kind of comebacks, resurgence that happened at different points. One of them, one of the memorable moments of her kind of coming back to the cultural zeitgeist was the 1980 film The Blues Brothers, where she did a collaboration. And yeah, so, you know, she had a lot of ebbs and flows, but certainly came out with a huge bang and ever since has been known as one of the greatest vocalists ever.
And to that point, Paul Young, give us the tally. How many charted singles? How many Grammy Awards?
Yeah, she had 112 charted singles on Billboard. She had 18 Grammy Awards, and that includes the first 8 awards ever given to the best female R&B vocal performance went to Aretha. She was also the first female performer to ever be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And then, of course, as we mentioned at the very top, Rolling Stone has declared her to be the greatest singer of all time. Well, you've given yourself a difficult challenge to showcase Aretha Franklin's magnificence in 4 selections, and you wanted to start with a more recent track and then work our way backwards. So what have you chosen for us to hear first?
Yeah, so the first track here is I Knew You Were Waiting For Me, which is actually a collaboration with the great George Michael from Wham. And I thought this was a really interesting track to start with because it's not what we think of as Detroiters, as, you know, the first song that we hear of Aretha Franklin's tribute after her passing. But I think it's certainly important, and it also highlights there were many collaborations of Aretha Franklin's career, and this was just one.
Yes, I do remember that being very popularly requested at WDTX Radio, where I was working, and we were playing that in 1987. Who are some of the other big collaborators she worked with?
Yeah, so she actually released an album years later called Jewels in the Crown, All Star Duets with the Queen, which kind of covered a lot of these collaborations. But just to name a few: Keith Richards and Mick Jagger on Jumpin' Jack Flash, Frank Sinatra, Michael McDonald, Whitney Houston, Annie Lennox, and David A. Stewart of the Eurythmics, John Legend, Mary J. Blige. She did unreleased tracks with Ray Charles. Of course, we talked about earlier the Bruce Brother version of Think. James Brown, Elton John, Mariah Carey, list goes on and on.
Wow. And I'm hearing you list these names, really cutting across the years, the generations with her collaborators.
Absolutely. And with this one specifically, I knew you were waiting for me. This was a number one Billboard Hot 100, won the Grammy for Best R&B Performance by a Duo or Group. And this was George Michael's, his only third single of his solo career. And this was post-Wham and pre-Faith. And this really put him on the map as a solo performer.
What's our next selection?
Next selection is Mary Don't Weep, which is a gospel favorite of Aretha. And this was released on her 1972 album, Amazing Grace. It's Aretha's third gospel album. It is the highest selling live gospel album of all time. 2 million sold in the U.S. It's double platinum. It also features Amazing Grace and How I Got Over, Old Landmark, some of those classics. It also won the 1979 Grammy for Best Gospel Performance. Jesus said, Mary, oh, Mary, don't you weep. Mary, don't weep. Don't weep. Don't weep. Tell your sister not to mourn. Don't mourn. Don't mourn. This song really throws back to the fact that her father, C.L. Franklin, was the minister of Detroit's New Bethel Baptist Church, which was really the center of the civil rights movement in Detroit. The original location, as you mentioned earlier, was where she recorded her first album, Songs of Faith, and the church, the physical location of the church, was actually displaced by the construction of the Chrysler Freeway in 1960.
All right, moving on. We go to 1969.
Yeah, so this one I also thought was interesting. This is a cover, The Weight, which was done by the band. But this is another, you know, another example of Aretha coming onto somebody else's work and just completely changing it, taking it to a next level. Just like her many collaborations, Aretha's known for a lot of her covers. Respect, we'll talk about later. She did Bridge Over Troubled Water, which is a Simon and Garfunkel classic. Love the One You're With by Stephen Stills. She did a couple Beatles songs, Eleanor Rigby, Let It Be. Doobie Brothers, she did Tracks of My Tears and gave Smokey Robinson a run for his money. And then also Say a Little Prayer is a Dionne Warwick original. And then at the 1998 Grammys, she even did a Pavarotti cover when Pavarotti became sick and the last minute she had to fill in. That's a famous cover of hers as well.
Indeed. In fact, last week we had the pleasure of talking to her opera coach, Mary Callahan Lynch, who prepared her for that moment singing Nessun Dorma. And now let's take a listen to The Weight from This Girl's in Love with You, Aretha Franklin, 1969. I pulled into Nazareth. I was feeling about a half past dead. I just need some place where I can lay. Yeah, that was great. That song was covered by others. That was a band song, right?
Yeah, it was. And yes, it was covered by many people. I'd have to say that's probably one of my favorite right there.
Yeah, well, she could take anyone's work and cover it and make it something completely her. And then you gave us a hint as to your last selection, Paul Young, and that is?
Yeah, it's got to be Respect. And I had a hard time. I struggled with which one I was going to pick, but I think it's just really timely. I think it's such an icon of a song, and it would just have been a huge misstep to not mention it. But 1967 off of I Never Loved a Man the Way I Loved You, Respect. Of course, this was her Atlantic Records debut. It was produced by Jerry Wexler and Arif Mardin. This was an Otis Redding song, and the original version was on his third album, Otis Blue, in 1965. And it was really about a man being okay with being taken advantage of by his woman as long as she acknowledges him, that he's put money on the table. Think kind of like Bill Withers, Until You Use Me Up. And what Aretha did is she just totally flipped it, and she made it more of a protest song of abuse and neglect. She's a confident woman, and she's demanding respect, and she's saying, you know, the abuse is not okay, and I'm not going to take it any longer. So I think it's interesting, Otis's original version, that first verse says, "What you want, honey, you got it. And what you need, baby, you got it." And Franklin's is, "What you want, baby, I got it. What you need, you know I got it." The spelling out of respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, the sock it to me's, the take care, T-C-B, which stands for taking care of business, my propers when I get home, that's all Aretha. She adds all of that. So she really brought something completely new to this. 1968, this won the Best Rhythm and Blues Recording Grammy and the Best Rhythm and Blues Solo Vocal Performance by a female.
Boy, that does sound good. Final question, how will Aretha, do you believe, be talked about and remembered in years to come?
I mean, certainly she's got to be the greatest, you know, one of the greatest vocalists of all time. But certainly, you know, I would think this day and age, female empowerment, black empowerment. And also, you know, Detroit couldn't be prouder to say that this is someone that came from, you know, the Midwest, came from a hardworking town, a Rust Belt town. And, you know, I just think that the Free Press had her on the front cover of their paper, Detroit News as well. But she was on the cover of the New York Times. She was on the cover of, you know, the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post. You know, she is internationally acclaimed. So I would say there's a special place for Michiganders and Detroiters for Aretha Franklin, and always will be.
Paul Young, founder, publisher of Detroit Music Magazine. Paul, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you, Cynthia.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.